anything, but on the sermon audio.
Yes. Cool.
Good evening, fathers and brothers. I'm told our time has arrived, so I want to welcome you to this meeting of the Midwest Presbytery. And before we do anything else, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 145, Selection A, and we're going to open with singing praise to our God. So please turn to 145A, and let's go ahead and stand and sing praise together. Tonight by turning together to the Word of God, and I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 1, Mark chapter 1. And I want us to look together tonight at verses 35 through 45 of Mark chapter 1. We're going to consider the priorities of Jesus. And we will see him tonight here in Mark in prayer. We'll consider him preaching. We'll consider his piety on a leper. And then finally his privacy. And so let us give our attention together now to the Word of God. Once again, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word and thank you for bringing us together tonight. And may we now sit at the feet of Jesus and open your word together. And I pray that you would open our ears and give us ears to hear. Lord, let us lay up your truth in our hearts, receive it with faith and practice it in our lives to your glory and for our good. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What was important to Jesus? What did he give his time and attention to? What was his focus when he was here on earth? What were his priorities? What did he ultimately come to do? Our passage tonight sheds light on those questions. And what we see is that Jesus' priorities and what he came to do is aimed at your greatest need. I want you to think about that tonight. What do I most need? What do we most need from Jesus? What do our churches and our communities most need? A helper? A friend? A good teacher? A good example? A motivator? A celebrity? No, we need a Savior. We need a holy and compassionate, suffering servant. We need a righteous sacrifice and a substitute. We need a divine King, able and willing to cleanse us and to restore our fellowship with God. And friends, that is who we have in Jesus. And that is the good news of Mark chapter 1. And that is what we see was his focus and his main priority. That's what we see in this slice of the life and ministry of Jesus recorded here in Mark chapter 1. In prayer and preaching and in his pity on the leper. We see that he came to make sinners clean. To meet your greatest need. He was on a mission to accomplish this. He was on a mission that would ultimately take him to the cross with your sin, or he would shed his blood so that you might be clean and you might be saved. And so, dear fathers and brothers, the good news tonight that you are called to hear and believe and proclaim is that Jesus came to make sinners clean. Jesus Christ came to make sinners clean, and you are called to lay hold of him and trust him and be clean and then proclaim that message as well. Jesus came to make sinners clean. Well, let's look at that together here for a little bit in Mark chapter 1, and I want us to consider first Jesus in prayer. Look with me again at verse 35. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Prayer was a priority for Jesus. It was such a priority that he got up while it was still dark. And he went out into the wilderness, into a desolate place where he was alone. And he prayed. And this is significant because the night before, if we had read it tonight, it was a very busy, late night. The sick and demon-possessed had flocked to him after dark. And he'd healed many of them. And so this was the very next morning, a very early morning after a very full day and a late night, a very successful day, it would seem as well. Crowds were flocking to him. Mark says the whole city came and was outside the door. His fame had spread in one day. But he leaves all that behind. He gets up early in the morning and gets away from all the crowds and all the needs. He gets away to be with his Father and talk with his Father. Now, you might think that after such a day and a late night, he would want to get a full sleep so he could resume his successful ministry to all these crowds. And it seems that was the presumption of the disciples. Look at verses 36 and 37. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone's looking for you." Literally, they hunted for him. They went out to track him down. Where was he? He had work to do. What was he thinking? People wanted him. People needed him. Why would he leave at such a time? Couldn't he pray some other time? Well, the disciples didn't yet understand success in the way Jesus did. They didn't understand, it seems, the core purpose of his coming. You see, he didn't come just to heal the sick and cast out demons. That was significant work. It was a real demonstration of his mercy and his power and his kingdom and his identity. But it was part of a bigger plan. It was a means to a greater end. These were signs pointing to his more important work of preaching and ultimately going to the cross with the sins of his people to save them body and soul. That was his mission. And because he was fully man, and because of the weight of this task, the weight of the sin that he would bear, he needed help. And so he called upon his Father. He left the needs. He left the people for the sake of his mission. Ultimately, for the sake of sinful people, for the sake of why he came. And I want you to just picture Jesus waking up way before dawn. Tired out, worn out physically, emotionally. Getting up early and going way out into the wilderness. Because he had come to save sinners. Because he came to go to the cross and fulfill his mission. Out of love for sinners. Out of love for you and me. He was not too busy to pray. His disciples thought he was. And I think often that's the excuse that we use. But he was too busy not to pray. His task was too important, too momentous, too difficult. And even he, the divine Son of God, had to pray, had to get away and be with his Father and call upon the Lord. And if he did, how much more do we? And our excuses for not doing so, I think they just melt away in the face of Jesus at prayer here early in the morning. Prayer was a priority for him because the Father was a priority. His glory was a priority. The task he'd been given was a priority. The lost was a priority. Preaching the gospel. And brothers, your priorities ought to reflect his. The disciples should have said when they found him, "Lord, teach us to pray. What are you doing? Why is this important to you? Eventually they will. They'll say, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus gave himself to prayer. And his prayer here is interrupted by the disciples. But at that point, we see a second key priority as Jesus responds to them. And I want us to consider, second tonight, Jesus preaching. Now look at verse 38 and 39, how Jesus responds. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus doesn't really interact with their questions and their concern. He just says, let's go on. Let's go on that I may preach. Why? That is why I came out. That is why I'm here. See, Jesus knew everyone in Capernaum was looking for him. He knew there were many more who could be healed. But he came to preach. It was a top priority. Now, that doesn't mean he stopped healing. Stop casting out demons. Stop caring for needy people. And we're going to see that in a few moments. But he placed priority on proclaiming the good news to those who had not yet heard. I came to preach. I came to announce, to herald the good news. Yes, people are needy. They're sick. They're demon-possessed. But they have a bigger problem. That they have a bigger, a deeper need that I have come to meet. And that must be announced. That must be made known and proclaimed. And Jesus was not concerned about popularity. He was not enamored by the crowds or by success. He had compassion. He had pity on those who were lost in sin and without hope. And he knew his reason for coming was ultimately to go to the cross to save sinners and build his kingdom. And sinners had to know that. That had to become known to them. Yes, sickness, pain, war, demon possession, poverty, these were all issues he cared about and he addressed. But he was ultimately going after the root cause of all that. He was going after sin and uncleanness before God. Let us go that I may preach. That is why I came. I think it's interesting his time in private prayer pushes and compels him to his public preaching. Preaching the good news of salvation, preaching the kingdom was his priority. Is it yours? Is it ours? Is this a priority in our presbytery and in our churches? Or has it waned? Do other things crowd it out? Are we tempted to listen to those who might say, you know, preaching is not really the way to go in the 21st century? But people don't need more information. People don't need words. They need to be loved. They need to be cared for. They need help. They need a friend. They need resources. They need education. They need fellowship and so on, whatever it might be. We need to focus more on those things and less on teaching and preaching. Well, not according to Jesus. Not in the ministry of Jesus. Yes, there are physical and emotional needs that we are called to care about and address as we can. And Jesus did much of that. We are to love people as whole people, soul and body. We need to realize that their greatest need, our greatest need, is for a Savior. is to be washed of sin, to know and believe in this Jesus. He is the ultimate answer to all problems and all suffering and pain. And this is why preaching was a priority for Jesus. And this is why it must be for you and I as well. We need a burning desire for the good news to be proclaimed. We need to stoke that with prayer. Jesus gave himself to prayer and preaching, to prayer and the word. It's no wonder the apostles practiced that pattern. And we should as well. Prayer and preaching. We see Jesus here in prayer and preaching. But then I want to move on. And we come next in Mark to this remarkable one-on-one interaction. This miracle that's inserted here and recorded by Mark beginning in verse 40. And we see that prayer and preaching were top priorities because of his pity on sinners. Because he came to save and cleanse sinners. And so let's consider third tonight, Jesus' pity. Look with me at verse 40 and following. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. As you know, a leper was someone who had one of many various types of skin diseases that were often permanent and incurable in the ancient world. They were often highly contagious as well. And so the Old Testament law required someone, regarded someone with leprosy as ceremonially unclean and required them to live outside of the camp alone, away from society, away from the worshiping people of God. Leviticus 13 and 14 talk about this. And this wasn't a punishment, but it was a means of protecting the wider community. But it meant a very miserable, pitiful life. As a leper, along with the physical suffering and pain from the actual disease itself that often spread over the whole body and would slowly rot the skin and the limbs, along with all that, they were also barred from society. They could have no contact with clean people, with family and friends. And so leprosy was more of a sentence than a sickness. It was actually almost worse as a sentence than a sickness, often a life sentence. A life as a lonely, helpless, hopeless outcast. And here's this leper in this situation. And he actually breaks the law. We read that he comes to Jesus. Lepers were to announce their presence and make sure they go away from people. They went away. You weren't supposed to go toward clean people. But this leper goes toward Jesus. In fact, he goes right up to him and falls down and begs Jesus. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." I want you to try to picture this scene. Picture this outcast, pitiful, perhaps unkempt, unclean, smelly leper running to the feet of Jesus and begging him. And he expresses remarkable faith and courage, doesn't he? He knows, he believes that Jesus can make him clean. You can. Literally, you have the power. You have the ability. Will you? And what does Jesus do? He doesn't turn away. He doesn't scold the man for breaking the law or the customs. He doesn't quickly put on latex gloves if they had such a thing. He doesn't put on a mask. He doesn't turn away from this unclean man. But he looks him in the eye. He listens to him. And Mark writes, he is moved with pity. Moved with pity. Literally, his inner parts are moved. He has this gut-wrenching reaction of compassion and pity because of the plight and the uncleanness of this man, and he hurts for him. And he wants to help him. Listen to verse 41 again. Moved with pity. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Jesus reaches out and touches this man, touches his skin, comes in contact with this infectious disease. He breaks the rules. You did not want to touch lepers. You couldn't touch them. That was the last thing in the world you would want to do. And yet with gentle pity, he reaches out and he touches him and simply says, I will be clean. And immediately, that's one of Mark's favorite words, immediately this man is clean. The leprosy leaves him by the mere touch and command, the mere word of Jesus. But now Jesus has a situation for himself. Jesus has just made himself unclean by contact with this man. There's an amazing role reversal here. A swap. Jesus takes his place. He takes his ceremonial uncleanness and in return makes him clean. Imagine having a doctor do that for you. You go in with a sickness and he says, well, let me just touch you and I'll take it. And you can be totally healed. It's amazing. Jesus, by contact with him, cleanses him. And I think what Jesus is doing here is, yes, he's showing pity on this man. Yes, he's showing his power. Yes, he's perhaps showing how he's going to fulfill the law. Yes, he's showing love for individual sinners. But I think he is also preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel here in picture form, demonstrating it in a very vivid way in the life of one sinner. Think about it. He stoops down to touch this unclean, miserable, lost man, and he takes his uncleanness and cleanses him in return. And is that not what he came to do? Is that not what he does in the gospel for unclean sinners who come to him in faith, who believe, Jesus, you can make me clean? And then did you notice in verse 44, Jesus' instruction to the now cleansed leper? He says, go show yourself to the priest and shed the blood of a sacrifice, the sacrifice prescribed by Moses. And Jesus knows that sacrifice that man is going to go offer, that's ultimately going to be him. It was a proof and a testimony to his identity and his mission and his coming work. That dove, it had its blood shed, did not cleanse that man. Jesus would. And this really gets to the heart of why Jesus came. To proclaim and accomplish the gospel. To make sinners clean by his pity and his power, by coming down into the filthy world of pitiful lost sinners and stooping down and humbling himself and coming into contact with them touching them, taking their very nature, their sin, and making them clean by His shed blood, by being rejected and cast out. Jesus came out of pity for the pitiful. And by the sheer miraculous power of His words and His work, He can make the unclean clean, as He does here in Mark chapter 1. And friends, isn't the leper a fitting picture of you and me and all mankind? We may not have a skin disease, but we have something worse. We have a heart disease. We are all unclean sinners, unfit for the presence of God. We are helpless. We are no less pitiful than this leper. We are more so. We are sentenced to a life of suffering as outcasts, to an eternity, unfit for God's presence. Not because we've contracted a disease we couldn't prevent, but because we have all sinned. We all fall short of His glory. We are all unclean and unrighteous. And we need to recognize, perhaps remember tonight, that that is who we are. And the pity and the power and the touch of Jesus is our only hope. We need to get on our knees like this leper and say, Jesus, only You can save me. Only You can make me clean. Have you done that? Brothers, do not forget who you are, who you were apart from His pity and His touch, His taking your sin, His cleaning you, and thank God. This is good news. Do not forget what He's done for you. Do not forget the greatest need of all people, and that Jesus came to meet that need, to make unclean sinners clean. Trust Him and be clean, and then preach Him. Lead others to Him. You see, this is why prayer and preaching are so vital. Because only He can save. Only He can cleanse. He has pity on the pitiful. And He has come to take the filthy sin of miserable lepers and give them His clean, pure righteousness. Well, then I want us to consider fourth and briefly and finally tonight, Jesus' privacy. Jesus' privacy. This kind of an interesting and somewhat odd, it would seem to us, conclusion to this text. But listen to it again in verse 43 and following. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." See that you say nothing to anyone. At this point, privacy was a priority for Jesus. And so He sternly tells the leper, don't say anything except to the priests. But why not? Why not tell the whole world? Well, what could possibly be wrong with that? Why shut this guy up? Well, I don't want to take much time on what has been referred to as the messianic secret tonight. But at this point, Jesus wanted to still be able to move freely from town to town. If word spread that He could also heal lepers, or that He broke the law, He would cause an uproar. Every leper in Galilee would want Him. The scribes and Pharisees would want His head. Others would perhaps misunderstand His real mission and identity. They may have wanted his power to be used for an earthly kingdom. And what most of them didn't see was a need for a suffering Savior. A need for a preacher of sin and repentance and good news through his suffering and death. What kind of kingdom is established by the king dying? And so Jesus asks for privacy here, because he didn't come just to heal the sick. He didn't come just to set up a small earthly utopia. He came to take our unclean sin and to cleanse and deliver from sin and Satan and death. Ultimately to set up a universal kingdom, forever free from all sin and sickness. And this didn't fit the expectations in the worldview of most. And so in short, he tried to keep his location and his identity private at this point so that he could stay on task and keep to his mission, which would ultimately lead to the cross at just the right time. And the leper, his response, the leper himself shows he doesn't quite get this. He ignores Jesus and disobeys him. It's as if he can't help it. And he goes out and talks all about it. I think it's a warning against zeal without knowledge. A warning about doing the Lord's work, but not in the Lord's way and according to the Lord's command. And it's ironic because Jesus really does reverse roles with him almost completely. Now Jesus is forced out into the desolate places. Verse 45. But even there, people find him, and they flock to him from every quarter. And yet, did they know his real identity? His real purpose? Did they know their greatest need? Did they go to him in faith as this leper? I think another striking irony here is that this leper was commanded not to speak, and he did. Well, we've been commanded to speak, and so often we don't. Or we don't want to. We who have been cleansed by this Jesus in a no less dramatic way. We who are now asked to make it public, to make it known, to tell the world. And he has gone to the cross. The grave is open. We have been cleansed. And yet so often we're silent. And we're scared, aren't we? We're not like this leper. But there's no reason to be. This is good news. This is life-giving, transforming, miraculous news. There is a cure for the worst disease. There is a compassionate and powerful Savior, a righteous substitute and sacrifice who is now alive. Brothers, can you see here in Mark tonight the stunning reality? The stunning news that Jesus came to make sinners clean, to meet your greatest need, to take your unclean sin to the cross. I know you've heard it 1,000 times, and it is good news. It is not old news. Could you possibly know it or love it or appreciate it or preach it enough? Do you see why you and I need to go to him to be clean? Do you see why it is such a privilege to worship and serve him, to hold him up before the flock, before the world, knowing who he is and what he can do and why he came? Do you see why our lives and our churches and our ministry and our labors must reflect his priorities and these realities, especially as his under-shepherds? Brothers, remember and rejoice in what he has done. Get on your knees before him as your Savior and on behalf of others, preach the good news of his kingdom that he can cleanse and he can save. And let us remember his gospel priorities in all we do in these next few days together. And then as we go home our separate ways to the hard and often messy and unclean work and yet amazing work that he has called us to. What was important to Jesus? Why did he come? You and I. He came for you and I. He came for his bride. For unclean, pitiful, helpless sinners, lepers. He came to take our sin and shed his blood, to build a kingdom by laying down his life, to glorify his Father by doing only that which he could do, cleansing sinners, preaching and accomplishing the good news. And friends, that is reason to rejoice and give thanks and press on in his work. Jesus came to make sinners clean. And may that awesome reality, that good news, drive us to our knees before him in faith and in worship and in zealous service. Amen. Let us stand now and sing together before we pray and constitute the court. Please turn with me to 145, selection B. And I'll ask you to remain standing following the singing, and we will pray and constitute the court. Mm-hmm.